We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. Your knowledgeable hosts are Michael McNamara.
Me and a grizzly bear, I'm betting on me.
And me, Ryan Schwan.
I've been playing some Dungeons & Dragons because I'm really cool like that.
Let's get it started. All
Pelicans.
All the time.
Welcome to the show. This is the first part of the NBA free agency wrap-up. I hope you enjoy it. And now we're joined by Jerry V. We've had a whole lot of action since the last time we talked to you, where pretty much we rehashed how the teams needed speed, athleticism, a lot of, you know, just ability on the floor to get after guys. We've seen a lot of changes to this team. Have they succeeded in adding that needed ingredient, Jerry?
Guys, thanks for having me on. I guess we can go back, what, 4 or 5 podcasts from the day we were talking about pace, team is too slow, not having guys with the escape game they can create on their own. So they've addressed that in Holiday and Evans. They have done that. Two guys that can satisfy the need of A, escape guys, random shot guys, get their own shot, create in the open floor, pick and roll, etc., serviceable enough scorers, get into the lane, all the things that are required to bend the defense and to force defensive rotation, something that the Hornets did not do enough of earlier.
So I got to give you credit. You were on the podcast with us before the draft. You called your shot. You said you believed that they would trade it for a young veteran. They did that on draft night with Drew Holiday. Just looking at Gravis Vasquez and what he brought to us last year, now handing that position over to Holiday, how do you compare those two players on both ends of the floor?
When you're talking about Holiday and Vasquez, and when we said they were going to trade the pick, the needs were so imperative, they were so glaring, I didn't think there was somebody that would be right there at 7 that would make this whole thing go. So that's why in trading the pick, I thought it was the best thing that they could possibly do. Comparing the two, quicker than Vasquez. Vasquez's court vision had improved. Holiday has that. Quickness, Holiday gets the edge. Escape game off the dribble, he does get the edge. Open floor gets the edge. Remember, we discussed a couple of times how Vasquez did not put the defense in dire straits, and there were situations during ball games that you witnessed that I thought could have turned into pitch-ahead scores getting numbers that you didn't because Vasquez just wasn't quick enough a foot off the dribble to do that. Holiday can do that. So that grades there. Shooting the three, comparable there. But the thing that I think that's – what I know stands out. above the two, and one area that can that separates them unequivocally is his escape game, his off the dribble, his pick and roll, his quicks. He can get his own shot. He can handle the ball. He can get to the rim. He has that flair and quickness that will accelerate your pace, that will generate extra shots, and he can also pass the ball. So out of the two, you have addressed, I think, some absolute necessities as you wanted to become a better basketball team. Vasquez, nice player, no doubt. And if he was remaining on the roster to run your second team, I would not have had a problem with that. But you cannot ignore what separates those two players.
So we've talked about this before. We like to say, okay, how do you match up against the best seven teams? So let's just think about last year's playoffs, the final couple rounds. Do you think Drew Holiday would have been able to stay on the floor against, say, Miami or the San Antonio Spurs and been an effective basketball player?
Yes, no doubt.
Good.
No doubt.
And yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing when I was watching it.
You know my philosophy. Guys, I ask you about a player. Whether you know whether you like or dislike a player, and that's a one-sentence answer. That's a one word. Yes, he can, and he would have. That's more than one word, so we do that in part two. But yes, no doubt. That's a three word. Yes, no doubt.
So let's move from Drew to Tyreke Evans, who, I mean, this is free agency. You have to overpay in free agency to get your guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a massive overpay, but it's an overpay. Does Tyreke Evans fit next to Eric Gordon and Drew Holiday in the backcourt?
Yes. Yes. Here is a guy. There's a very important stat with him. And I always like to look at guys. You know, we talk about it. Old school guys from day one will say, can he get his own shot? Yes. But now, because you have a more sophisticated statistical breakdown, well, an important stat with guys like that is what percentage of his shots does he get unassisted or on his own? And he's well over 58%. So that shows you how many times he created on his own. That was so lacking in this Pelican on this Pelican basketball team that it would make you squeamish. So yes, he'll fit. You have the option to go small ball. You have the option to have the three guard offense if the roster stays the way it does now. So yes, they will fit. The only thing that can make, and it can make a podcast standing on its own, the question that will have to be asked is the mental aspect of it all. Is if you look the number of shot attempts these guys average per game for their previous teams, they were in double figure attempts. It's sharing the ball, how you're going to tweak the system, and what your shot distribution will be, and guys having to accept certain roles. That will be the big key. And that's the hidden gem beneath all of the stats. Basketball-wise, yes, they can fit, because Holiday is the better three-ball shooter, even though somebody will give you a stat. I was talking to guys the other day. They're telling me about Evans's catch-and-shoot percentage shooting the three. That is fine, but he was taking just three a game. Holiday style is the better three-baller off pick and roll. Evans could be your ISO, bust you up off the dribble, get in the lane and find people. So you got one guy, when you look at the percentage of shots at the rim by Evans, and then the number of shots at the rim versus Holiday, and you see Evans is a terrific attack guy, or Holiday is more like your mid-range attack player. But both of them can get there, both of them. Yes, they can play together. In fact, at times, I go so far as to say, when you go small ball with that combo, it could be somewhat lethal, forcing matchups when you're in a burst mode, when you want those runs, when you want to go open floor, and when you want to accelerate that pace, you can run it that way. Yes, you can.
So, Jerry V, I mean, you've said the word pace three or four times now. I think that's...
Yeah, slowest pace in the league, not enough shots, and that affected... That affected the number of shots they took per game, number of free throws. They didn't have enough possessions. It put too much pressure on their defense. You had no throwaway possessions. every possession was like gold because you had the least amount of them because your pace was that was dictated by that. You can't play that way and be successful in this league. You have to be able to accelerate the ball at times.
Right. So, I mean, you got to imagine there's no way you bring these guys in that we've brought in this offseason, even bringing Aminu back, Anthony Davis, maybe the quickest end-to-end big man in the league. So you got to imagine that, you know, this team is going to want to push the pace. From a coaching perspective, I know as fans we just say it's easy, put a bunch of fast guys out there and run down the court and increase the pace. But from a coaching perspective, especially when you're putting guys together who haven't played together very long, what type of fundamentals are you trying to institute? What type of things, you know, do you think that you're going to try to work on? Where are the kinks going to be as far as helping these guys get out and transition and doing it effectively? Because just running is one thing, but running and playing with pace effectively is another. What kind of things as a coach would you implement, and how long do you think it'll take for that to gel?
Well, the biggest decision is going to be when to pass and when to shoot, number one. Number two, you can't just become a running team. It's going to have to become a habit. Number three, in the early stages, as you teach it, you're going to have to live with early turnovers because there will be more possessions, and you want to get those possessions back. You're going to see this club probably run similar to what San Antonio does, where the spacing, what they call the early spacing, will begin as they run the floor. Your lane runners will be out wide, probably corner to corner, to create driving lanes for your ball handlers and your cutters to utilize the quickness, and even your trail man, whoever it might be, Davis or whoever your forward or center might be. They'll do that. And the pitching of the ball, advancing the floor, they'll have to be able to do that and understand that they can run off their defense. What's going to be required there is, will the number of steals per game that you generate increase? It was too low last year. Your defensive rebounding must be a solid factor. You're going to have to get rebounding from some of your guards as well. And then the habit of understanding, and this is overlooked and not mentioned by a lot of people, but it's overlooked, knowing when you go from defense to offense. In other words, recognizing when you got the possession. Is the rebound secure? Do I release now? I get to my outlet point. I throw my outlet. I advance it. I either advance it and pitch it, advance it and keep it, and how quickly you can get circle to circle. All of that will be accelerated. You'll probably see the pace of practice increase to ingrain that style of play. There'll be some pain in the development of it, because guys have to understand, you know, when you can have multiple ball handlers to advance the ball, they'll have to understand that. It becomes a habit. Good teams that can run, it becomes a habit. You can't just say run. You brought up a very valuable point. There is running, and there is effective running. And then the other part of it is when you're advancing the ball quickly, you must build up your transition defense quickly. So your court coverage plays a role. How many will I send? Who covers back? You learn to read plays. Don't want to overcommit too many people to the glass so teams can't do runouts on you, etc. All of that, different reads, different habits, all become ingrained in there. And with all of that, too, it's a fun thing to teach. And once it clicks in, it's fun to watch and fun to play, especially if you're a young player. If it were me, they take me out of the game after one trip.
So you brought up rebounding.
Right.
One of the casualties of the Tyreek Evans signing was Robin Lopez.
Right.
I don't know if I can actually ask this question with a straight face. Is him not being on the floor going to have any real impact on our defensive rebounding ability?
It will, because of his size and how close he was to the rim, how close he was to the ball when it came off the rim because of his length to go and get it. How do you offset that? You're going to have to hit rebounding from another position. You know, your small forward or one of your bigger wingmen will have to become a rebounder. There's going to be times you're going to have to gang rebound with five guys. We still don't. I don't think this roster is complete right now, where it sits as of July. But as it sits right now, you'll miss those aspects of him. And then on the other side, remember, for what you're missing there, you're looking to create on the offensive side by creating more possessions per game to offset any minus in the other area. But he will be missed, yes, in that regard.
So, Jerry, I want you to role play for me right here. I want you to be Monty Williams for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
all right, run the floor. Run. Run the floor. I'll be saying that until I'm blue in the face. Okay. Get wide, get wide, get wide. But go ahead.
So at the end of last season, Austin Rivers said he was starting to get it a little bit. He said that the point guard position is wide open. There's no starter right there right now. He feels like he could take over the job. Cut to a couple months later, and the Pelicans just spent about $90 million on two guys who came in the same draft class. One was an all-star point guard last year, and the other was, you know, one rookie of the year as a point guard. They've got more ball handlers. They still kept Eric Gordon. You sit down with Austin Rivers now. Take me through that conversation.
Well, I monitor what he did this summer. I admire the work you put in this summer. I'd monitor that. I'll tell him, you know, we brought in players. We have to get better. The competition at that position now has become more difficult. Now you're going to have to show me how far your game has grown since last season. You're right in the mix of that battle. And I will tell him, you have to play and prepare yourself to get minutes at the one and at the two. So you have two options available for you where minutes could be split. Will you start at the one? That's going to be to how you're going to battle Holiday on the floor. I think Holiday right now has that edge because of the experience. So how good is he as he comes back? And you remind that player that their options and minutes can be distributed at two different positions for him. And then we'll see where his game evolves. If he's not good enough to rob minutes from people, he won't play as much because it is the NBA. And, you know, it's pretty ruthless and it's pretty cold-hearted. Monty Williams will give him absolutely every opportunity. And if he's not there and it doesn't happen, you'll have to say goodbye to some minutes. And that's where the mental challenge comes up for a player. You know, how well do you handle that type of adversity? And that's when you really learn about young players, when they have to punch through that first wall of adversity and how they handle it. So a lot of that is going to depend. Because what if he comes back and his game looks good? He's better than last year. His shot is better. Now you've got some interesting battles going on. But let's not overlook the value of a second unit. Let's not overlook the value of the sixth, seventh, and eighth, and ninth guy. We saw that in the playoffs, especially the way the game is being played today. So that's what I tell him. And then I tell him, just continue what you do. Play hard. Don't be late for practice, which he never is.
So let's shift now to the front court. We have Anthony Davis, Ryan Anderson, now the new Jeff Withey, Jason Smith. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sorry. So you got that four-man rotation. Is that enough, or do you really expect them to like go out and try to grab like a powerful rebounder, or do you think those four guys are gonna?
I think they're investigating. First of all, Evans and Holiday are serviceable defenders. They're not dynamite defenders. They're serviceable. They're decent enough defenders. Holiday better than Evans. So first thing I ask myself, the way the game is played, is do I have a rim protector back there? Do I have someone that can at least slow down penetrators? I'd look at it that way. Last year, one of the worst aspects of the team was their rotating defensive play. Excuse me. That obviously is going to improve. I don't think they're done addressing this roster, probably in the form of a trade. I know there's conversations that they're having with Houston. There's some disgruntled play there at their center position. So right now, do you have enough? You have enough to be a little bit better than last year, yeah, because of your improved guard play. Can you rebound with that group consistently over 82 games, you can be an adequate rebounding team. By no means are you a superior rebounding team. I would like to see if they're going to address getting another guy that's a defensive big that can rebound, alter shots, and is a defensive big against pick and rolls down in the post, not necessarily a scorer. So I would like to see that happen, but it would have to be the right move.
So if you put that together in like a resume, this is what we want, is this kind of defensive play and this kind of shot blocking.
Look to Houston. He's backing up Howard now. He's not happy, and he wants a trade.
Yeah, but they're talking about Ryan Anderson as like
that's the okay.
bait.
You gotta
You're
give
okay
to
with
get.
That.
You got to give to get.
So you would rather, for this team, you would rather have Asik than Anderson?
You have to give to get. Go back. Let's go back now and let's look at your team defensively. Your defensive efficiency last year was about 16th, 17th in the league. That's not good. So you're getting guys are getting to the hole on you. And if your perimeter is dented, who's your insurance policy? Whose good hands are you in? And who's back there? Yeah, you have Davis, but the way people space and spread the floor now and play, who is my other big? If you can make that move, I wouldn't mind making the move. If you can't make that move and you have to hold serve, I'm not going to lose sleep over it because you can't address everything at once. So it's to me, it's more like a win-win. If I can make the move and address that position, I would make it. If I can't, I don't make a move just for the sake of making the move, because people that are going gaga over Whitney coming in as a rookie that you swapped picks, I don't know if they truly understand. They're mesmerized by college-edited game tape. And in watching him play, you know, I consider him what we used to call a plotter. Footwork needs work. He's not fluid enough to defend in the pick and roll. He reminds me he's a shot blocker where the play must come to him, especially at the pro level. He's not a guy that can come across the lane, NBA shot blocker, make a diagonal cut, NBA shot blocker. He'd be a serviceable, minimal-minute guy. So if you're willing to throw that kind of cash at perimeter guards of what you have, and you can make a move to throw cash and get someone that's a proven pick-and-roll defender, can alter block shots, and can be the big and who's serviceable enough for you and who is better than what you have at that position, why wouldn't you make that move?
I think I'll take this one because I think Ryan needs to take a drink. I don't think he likes the idea of losing Anderson, but I tend to see the logic on both sides. I guess I'll ask you, you know, so the first part of my question, actually, I want to take back a second. You are saying that you could see that move improving the Pelicans, which I think you could make a good argument for. Is there ever any worry, because I think this is a huge part of it for fans, of improving the roster of a team that's in your division? Because honestly, I think if Ashik was playing for, let's say, the Milwaukee Bucks, and you make that deal, you know, I don't think fans have as big of a problem with it as the terror that they have of putting Anderson on a team with Dwight Howard and James Harden. So did that even come into your thinking that you're improving a team within your own division?
Depends where I am. If I'm close to winning my division and I think that I'm a multiple-round playoff team, yeah, and that was my roadblock, I would consider that. But how big of a jump do you think that you're going to make from last year to do that? That would have to go into the thinking. If it's close and I'm a hitter away from getting to the World Series, I'm not going to give them to you if you're going to be that roadblock. But if a deal gets me something that I think makes me better in a couple of categories that have to be addressed, I could make that move if I'm thinking the move offsets what I've given up. And defensively, the team has to get better. The team, a lot of those, some of those, many of those defensive numbers were disguised by the minimal possessions per game. So other teams were not getting scoring opportunities. So some of the defensive numbers are fancy. They're dressed up defensive numbers. But that front line, if you cannot rebound in the league, you don't win without rebounding. You just don't do it. People will say, well, look at Miami and look at San Antonio. You know, where were their bigs at all? Well, they gang rebounding teams, and they just had three all-star talent. Different story. So if the move presents itself and you can make that move, it would not hurt me to say, oh, that's absolutely horrible. I like Anderson as a player. It's a sexy player from the standpoint of how he scores. People are mesmerized by long ball splashes, and he's a stretch four. But if you can address the middle of your defense, you may have to do it. If you don't, you're going to play a spread option type offense, and people come out and guard you.
So I do have one final question for you. This one, I think Michael had a little trouble with this one too.
Sure.
The Pelicans had a few million left in their free agency pool that they could go out and grab a veteran contributor of some sort. I think Michael and I were both expecting like a 3-and-D kind of guy, someone mm-hmm. who can hit the three and then guard wing players.
Right.
And they went and got Al Farouk.
Mm-hmm.
How do you – I mean, can you explain that move?
Maybe they sign him – excuse me. Maybe they sign him on a one deal to later trade him so people only have to inherit him for 1 year. A guy that a lot of people like that I like would have been Corey Brewer, who can defend wings and who can score the ball. He's athletic and he's quick. And if you can't find defense in the middle, you find a wing defender and you find an athletic guy like that. Amin, who's in his make or break point of his career to show people he's got to legitimize himself. He still wasn't offensively aggressive enough to my liking to be reliable, to be that guy. Defensively, there was slippage. It's improved, but his improvement from point A to point B hasn't been enough of a jump. He's still not a decisive enough scorer. His scoring numbers are on dunks and breaks in an open space versus in a crowd. So that one-year shot could be the message. This is your last chance. This is it. You know, you got to show something now. Or was he packaged as a minimal contract to make an attractive commodity? I don't know, but still not reliable enough to my liking, unless he comes back from this offseason, to warrant that. If you really were crazy about a guy, you wouldn't sign him to just a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if I'm trying to make sense of this, it looks like what Monty and Dell have done is with these work-around-the-edges type guys, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th man on your
right.
roster, it seems like they... It's almost like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know philosophy of, we have these guys in our system. We know, you know, where they need to progress. We know who they
right.
are as young men. Mm-hmm. We know that they're here at the facility working out in the off season. To where, you know, if there's a real difference maker, they go out and get that guy. But if you're talking about a marginal player either way, that they almost like staying with the guys they're familiar with and trying to develop them through their system. Do you see that?
Yeah, that's an intelligent comment, and it makes a lot of sense because it requires less teaching time. And the more guys you have on your roster that are familiar with things, the quicker their new teammates can learn them. That can very well be the case, as well as being the last challenge to Aminu, whose progress hasn't been to my liking, not quick enough, but familiarity does help. It does help the teaching environment. And so we'll see what happens with him. You know, I was disappointed this year. I truly thought that he would legitimize certain aspects of his game. He's yet to do that. But you look at this team now. What have they addressed now? Your tempo obviously will improve. Number of shot attempts will improve. The number of trips to the free throw line will improve. Those are critical. The big question will be how this team will grow defensively and adapt. You know, how much will they change their style or tweak what they already run? Because if you go back, an Evans and a Holiday are used to shooting the ball early in the shot clock. These aren't walk it up type guys. So I'm sure Monty will embrace that. Then how will that carry over defensively? That will be the biggest sell for this group of guys this year, because I think all of us, all three of us agreed last time that this team wasn't rugged and ornery enough defensively. We agreed on that, correct?
Oh, yes.
That needs to grow. And I like Holiday's tenacity. I like Evans' tenacity. Those are two city-type guys that have played in that environment. That will help. So we'll see where that takes you in the early part of the season. This is why this is a critical camp for this team this year. I applaud the moves. You and I have been, all of us have been just dying to bring that type of skill set to those positions. Now the question is, what happens with Eric Gordon when he comes in? Everyone looks on paper, and this looks very, very impressive, but those three guys all require shots. Those three guys are very good with the ball in their hands. Now we're going to find out with those three guys, if it will be those three guys when the season begins, on how they will accept their role and know when to pass and when to shoot. That's what I think is going to be the toughest question for this team going forward. If the roster remains the way it is now, it's going to be the defensive growth and the when to pass, when to shoot question with guys that love the ball in their hands and love to play.
Yeah, and my final question to stay on the topic of shooting in a more broad sense, you know, shooters obviously create space. And even if this team has Ryan Anderson, you're really looking at a couple of marginal average shooters and Ryan Anderson. And especially if you trade him for somebody like Ashiq, you're really, you're really looking at a team that can't shoot the three ball all that well. But with that in mind, are there other ways to create space, other ways to create room on the floor in the half court, you know, as opposed to just having a bunch of guys standing behind the three-point arc? If you got guys who are this good with the ball, are there other creative ways as a coach to create that space that you need?
Yeah, but you need three ballers. You have to have corner three guys that can shoot the three. Holiday can do that for you. And this is where you love Anderson, and this is where you're in a quandary. Let's say if Houston were to call and say, you know, we can do that deal, let's work something out. You have to have three ballers in this league. If anybody ever tells you that's not the case, walk away immediately before you catch the fever that they have, okay? You must be able to shoot the three in this league to survive. Example, playoffs. San Antonio decided we're going to pack the lane. We're going to make Miami jump shooters. They never envisioned LeBron James would shoot them out of the building because of the massive improvement on his jump shot. Okay, they will do that and force you into a jump shooting team. That was the playoff. You don't have three ballers, it's going to be a long, painful season. But to go back to your question, you can do things by your ISO, your guys that can get into the lane off the dribble in the man-to-man. You start in the early offense off the break with terrific spacing and at least have your sprinkling of threes in there. But the Pelicans were one of the worst three-ball teams in the league. So you can do it with spacing and some of the sets, but eventually you're going to have to punish defenders by being able to make jumpers. And you're going to have that asset of the long ball at times to force those rotating defenders to come out and to open that lane up. If not, Davis and others will suffocate in there. So you're in a quandary because you better have a three baller or two in your life. You better have a couple of them. Because if not, it's over. Especially now, when teams run sideline pick and rolls and they go ball swing to the weak side of the floor, many times that could be a point guard or a two guard over there that's wide open. And that's the guy that also has to be able to make the three. So a stretch four or a big guard, and I include in that a two or a three, they have to be able to shoot the three.
And I'll be remiss if I let you go without this. A lot of Twitter followers asking, if we're talking about marginal upgrades from here on out, maybe a couple more role players, nothing big done, what type of range are you looking at for the Pelicans this year as far as wins and, you know, are the playoffs a realistic possibility?
A shot at the eighth seed, shot at 7 or 8. I would think that a growth of anywhere from 6 to 10 additional wins should be expected at this point. If barring any injuries, okay, as of today, barring any injuries, the health factor, you have a shot at 7 or 8 to chase, but where you got to play is going to be brutal, but you got a shot pending defensive growth, pending defensive growth. If that can happen, you have a shot.
Yeah, I don't know how they could get much worse.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, and if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't, because if you notice here, what you notice in the ownership of this club on their willingness to go out and tell you, go get these guys. So it appears that this team now is not being designed for the long-term growth. It appears that the growth process has been accelerated. When you look at the money spent at these guys, that's why I would not be surprised if another move is made. I would be surprised if another 2 moves are made to try to get this roster even better, because I think that that's what their ambition is. I don't think they want to wait around for another 3 years to see what happens. They want to start making a playoff splash out of the jump. You don't go into your pocket as an owner and give the go-ahead to throw that kind of money out on the table and not be deathly serious about making a big splash here. So don't be surprised, guys, if something else happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just waiting to see what happens when all the people actually start signing, if any interesting trades happen.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a blending situation. It could be entertaining, but, you know, from the standpoint of a fan, fans that will watch the team play, you'll see things on the floor that were lacking in the past that will excite you. You know, when's the last time, guys, you saw the explosiveness coming from a couple of guys other than Gordon off the dribble into the lane to the rim, throwing the assist or hit the three or running an ISO, turn corner pick and roll with consistent quickness? Vasquez played nicely. He's a nice player and still is good enough to be on this club to run your other unit. But when is the last time you saw that on a consistent basis on the floor since Chris Paul was here?
Right. Well, I mean, this is honestly the first time we've had a wing player who could do that since Eddie Jones.
Yeah. Oh, Eddie Jones, there's a throwback, who wanted maximum money 1 year. Here's
right.
Eddie Jones' story. Walked into the office one day and wanted maximum money. I mean, but yeah, you're right. You got to have it. You got to have it. The game has changed. You got to have that. You got to have a 3-baller. And you got to be able to play almost 2 tempos. That's why don't overlook second unit personnel. You can't overlook second unit personnel over 82 games in the playoffs. Specialty 3 people, invaluable.
All right. Got any more questions for him, Michael?
No, I mean, it's going to be a fun season. I personally, I'm excited that the rebuilding process has sped up a little bit. I wouldn't have been too thrilled with Nerlens Noel out until February and waiting again for next year. So I think it's going to be a fun year, and we're all going to have a lot of things to talk about.
And I'm excited as a guy that spent over 40 years in this game to see the number of you guys, as I said this before, in what you're doing at Bourbon Street Shots, the number of young guys coming up that give me the impression they're basketball purists. That's also a healthy sign for what's happening in this basketball environment, because you guys are going to continue all of this. You know, after you've sprinkled X's and O's on my coffin, you guys will be all of this wave of you guys on the site, the purist guys that are already emerging. And you got to continue that, because that's going to be a tremendous shot in the arm. It's like you guys are being the unseen draft picks that were selected that will enhance NBA coverage in this area. And that's drastically needed. So that's another plus.
Oh, I appreciate it. And now with that endorsement, I'm going to hold out for max money myself.
Hold out for the max, baby. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Can you help me?
Sure.
Should I name my section corner deep, weak side eyes, or from the corner?
I liked weak side eyes. That was
I did too. That was one that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, your defense is only as good as your rotating defenders in the NBA.
Yeah.
So maybe it's going to be weak side eyes. What do you think?
That sounds good.
I like it. Look at that. Letting the people.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Jerry.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy your night.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.